Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's a little unusual. I guess one every 7 years unusual to have our Christmas and celebrate that with our families and then come and celebrate it with our eternal family. So this is pretty special to be together. It's special every Sunday morning, but it's just a little extra special this morning. The greatest gift that I received as a child, my favorite gift looking back on it, was a set of electronic drums, just a little pad, four pads, and you could do a lot of things with it. I was about 12 years old at the time, and it was just the neatest thing to me. The worst gift for my parents that I think I ever received was a set of real drums. If you have a child that's a drum, in fact, if you're an uncle or an aunt, because gift giving is on our minds today, I want to just plant a seed. If you're an uncle or an aunt, and you're a little devious, if you want to give your niece or nephew, find some old junky drums somewhere and give your niece or nephew a set of drums, right? Birthday, Christmas, or just out of the blue. You know, it's a gift that a devious aunt or uncle, it just keep on giving to your brother or sister. You know, a clarinet, you can turn up the TV and kind of drown out, but drums, you can hear two houses down. So, gifts, the greatest gift. I want us to think this morning about the gift of Jesus. And a couple things about that. One is the fact that Jesus is God's greatest gift. We serve a God who is a giver, right? Remember, Scripture starts out, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created." You think about everything that has been created, the universe, and all we know about it, places you've been and seen, just things in nature, things that are amazing. Who did God create that for? You and I don't think we think about that much. God created. He gave. He created that for us. God is a giver. And we know that God planned to give Jesus. 1 Peter 1:20 says Christ was chosen before the world was made. So in the beginning God created, but before the beginning God planned. He had a gift in mind that He wanted to give. If you have a gift that you prepared to give someone, do you ever get anxious about giving the gift? Stephanie is one that she likes surprises, and she likes the gift on her birthday. She likes the gift on Christmas. We have things for her to open up today. Me, I'm the type of giver. As soon as I buy it, I want to give it. I mean, I want to walk right out of the store and come straight to her in the sack. I don't care what bag it's in, and just give it to her. I don't want to wrap it. I don't want to wait. And I never really thought before until recently, do you think God was anxious to give Jesus? Do you think He was excited waiting through all the years? Right? He planned it before creation. And all those years that passed, do you think God was excited to give the gift of Jesus? I think He was. And it's part of what we glean from the birth story, Luke chapter 2. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And this is the night that Jesus was born. And so He's born at this time. And it says that night, some shepherds were in the fields nearby, watching their sheep. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them. So we have the birth of Jesus that God has given. And we have shepherds, and God sends an angel to talk to these shepherds. The glory of the Lord was shining around them, and they became frightened, the shepherds. Verse 10 says, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news that will be a great joy to all the people.' And the angel says, 'Today your Savior was born in the town of David. He is Christ the Lord.'" Evidently, God wanted someone to know about the gift. He wanted someone to know about Jesus being born. Why did God tell the shepherds? Why did He not tell important figures? And one I guess, theory on that to me is that that's just God's M.O. He doesn't look at man like you and I do. He doesn't look at people like you and I do. But God evidently wanted someone to know, and he sends an angel to tell these shepherds. Remember John 3:16. Regarding Jesus being sent and Jesus being a gift, remember John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." God is a giver. And when Jesus was born, it was the moment that God gave him to mankind as our Savior. But one angel to these shepherds is not enough. Because at this moment, verse 12, if we read on, it says, the angel says, "This is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in pieces of cloth, lying in a feeding box." So the angel is to tell the shepherds where to find Jesus. And then, verse 13, a very large group of angels from heaven joined the first angel. So God sends a multitude. Remember, angels don't do what they want. Angels don't have free will like we have free will. Okay? Angels are messengers. They do what God wants. So God sends a multitude of angels. Now, try to think of a time in Scripture, in the history of mankind, where a multitude of angels came and praised God together. Where a multitude of angels were sent to glorify God. But on this occasion, God sends a multitude, and they join this first angel, and they say, "Give glory to God in heaven and on earth. Let there be peace among the people who please God." Why glory to God in heaven? Why are the angels saying glory to God in heaven? I'm sure they would say that any day because God is worthy of glory and to be praised. But God has sent this multitude because this is a big moment. This is a moment that God gave His Son to mankind. It's the greatest gift to mankind. I was on Facebook the other day. A friend of mine, a childhood friend who is an atheist, he posted or reposted just a statement from someone that said or made the point that, you know, in history that there have been 3,000 supposed gods, that people have believed in 3,000 different, if you look at how many different gods there have been that people believed in. And over 3,000. And the sarcastic point of that statement was, you know, and every person thinks their God is the one. And so I sent a private message to him, just a friendly private message, kind of giving him a couple things to think about if he hadn't. And I said, first of all, my reaction to that is I'm not surprised that there are 3,000 or people have believed in 3,000 different types of God. That doesn't surprise me because when you live this planet, it doesn't matter when you live or where, you look around and you conclude logically somebody had to make this. This didn't just happen. So for there to be all these beliefs in a higher power, it makes perfect sense. But I said two things about Christianity that makes it very unique. One thing is Christianity is the only religion that has a sacred book that provides history from the beginning. But the other thing that makes Christianity unique is the fact that it is the only religion that has a Savior. Every other religion says you need to be good enough or you need to do this or that to be worthy of the higher power. And Christianity is the only religion that says you can't be good enough. God provided a Savior. The Savior is the greatest gift. Look at Titus 3, verse 4. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." When God gave Jesus, He gave it to man who did not deserve it. Jesus is the greatest gift that we will ever receive. He's also, the second thing I want us to take from today is the fact that Jesus is a gift that we share. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priest, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." And then look at this statement. It says, "You were chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God." You were chosen to tell. Romans 1:16 in English Standard Version says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." In the New Century Version, Romans 1:16 says, and I like this translation, "I am proud of the good news." Jesus is a gift we receive, but it was never intended that you get Jesus in your life, the priceless gift, and you hoard him. It was always intended that you receive Jesus and you share him. The fact is, none of us here know about Jesus except for the fact that someone told us about Jesus. It's a common question this time of year, especially a day like this, tomorrow, the next week, you know, what did you get for Christmas? Common question. A different question is, what did you give? What did you give for Christmas? Jesus said it is more blessed to give than receive. The older we get, the more we realize the joy of giving. There is no gift that you will ever give. There's no gift you'll ever give that's greater than the gift of Jesus. And I just wanted to leave us with a thought this morning. As we start a new year, how many times can we make an effort to give Jesus to someone? How many opportunities do we have to make some statement or comment about our God or our faith or prayer or our church, or church family? How many opportunities will we have to say to someone, "You know what, why don't you come to church with me sometime?" Or, "I have some friends coming over the house Sunday night. It's our small group. Why don't you come and join us? Just come see what it's like." The gift of Jesus is the greatest gift we've ever received, and it's the greatest gift we will ever give. We're going to sing a song to close out, a song of encouragement. And it's one in which we praise God for all that you've done. And so I just encourage us to understand on a deeper level the gift that we've received and what it is that we have the opportunity to share in with someone else. If there's someone here this morning and your heart is heavy, there's something that you're struggling with, it may be someone right now this morning, you realize Jesus isn't your Savior because you haven't accepted that, you haven't become a Christian. If there's something you need this morning, we'd love to take a moment and help you with it if you come while we stand and sing.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. All that you're going to do, all that you promised and all that you